Shalom Aleichem, Abiyah 15613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Karisa Staff Chav, Karisa's 20b, pagination is 40. We have the privilege of starting the fifth perek about midway on the page. We begin with the Mishnah. Ochal dam shchita babehema bachaya uvaof, bein temein bein tehorin. The Mishnah is describing one case of a forbidden behavior, which would be a carbon chatos as atonement if it was done by mistake, and that is eating blood. And we're going to look to identify what type of blood is included in this prohibition and would result in that requirement for atonement. So the Mishnah tells us that dam shchita of a domesticated animal, a non-domesticated animal, or a bird, whether it's non-kosher or kosher, is going to be included in this prohibition of dam. Dam nechira, as well as if you killed the animal in a non-shchita way by cutting it. Dam ikur, which is also a method that's not kosher in shchita. Dam hakaza, bloodletting. Shanashama yotzebo, that the life expires as a result. Chayavin alav, these are also obligatory of the atonement carbon if they were done by mistake. They are considered the same concept as dam, even though it wasn't technically a shchita. The pasuk indeed describes dam hanefesh. Rashi, at the end of his commentary to the Mishnah, quotes, Ki nefesh kol basar damo hi kol ochlav yikares, that the life as being attributed to the blood is the focus over here, and that's what was mechayev kares, and likewise the chatas atonement if it was done by mistake. However, damat chol, from the spleen, dam halev, from the heart, dam beitzim, blood of eggs, dam chagovim, of grasshoppers, dam tam, hatamtsis, the blood that remains after the spurt of blood, that's the life blood, ein chayovin olov. That's not this biblical topic of kares and chatos. In the case of dam chagovim, it may be mutter, but we're not necessarily saying these things are permitted. They're just not the biblical requirement. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev bedam atamtsis. Rabbi Yehuda says that the residual blood is included. Tanu Rabbanan, we start the Gemara. The Rabbanan learned, kol dam lo sochelu, all blood you shall not consume. Shamei ani afilu dam mahal cheshtayim. It sounds like even those who walk on two legs should also be included in this prohibition. Now, mahal cheshtayim, walking on two legs, is actually a code word referring to humanity. If we delve deeper, though, for example, in English, there's an expression biped, the pedestrian of two, walking on two legs. And I believe the word biped in English might include certain animals that walk on two legs. The term mahal cheshtayim in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, in Jewish tradition, was a code way of talking about the human being. It's not a technical term to divide between beings that have two legs and walk on two legs as opposed to those of four. That's not the distinction. Mahal cheshtayim is a code word for humanity. It's making a distinction between animals and humans, even though agreeably, if you use the expression, there are animals on two legs. That's not mahal cheshtayim. We'll try to come back to this. The term mahal cheshtayim, the human being as a walker, dam beitzim, the blood of eggs, dam chagavim, dam dogim, hakol bechlal. You would have thought that all of these are included in this grand prohibition of kol dam lo sochelu. Talmud lomar, the pasuk gave a limitation. It explained, la'of v'labehema, birds and animals. And the Gemara explains how to understand that limiting factor to this prohibition, and it ends up that it does not include, for example, human blood is not included in this prohibition. The Rambam, Ma'acholos Asuros, Perek Vav, Halacha Beis, writes, for example, Dam ha'adam asur midivrei sofrim impiresh. The blood of a person is forbidden rabbinically if it's separated. So step number one over here is that it's not included in the biblical prohibition. And step number two is it is rabbinically prohibited, but only if it's separated. And so, dam hashinayim, if there's blood oozing from the gum, from the teeth, bolo, you're allowed to swallow it. It's still in your mouth. Ve'eno nimna, you don't have to hold back from that and start spitting it out. And not appetizing, do what you want, but that's not the halachic requirement. However, haresha noshach bepas, if you bit into bread, umotza alav dam, and you found some blood from the person who's eating, is on the bread now. Go to res hadam, you have to rub off the blood, v'achakach ochel, and then you can continue eating the bread, shaharei piresh, because then the blood has already separated from the person, and at that point, it's rabbinically prohibited. The concept of mahal cheshtayim, walking on 2 feet, number one, is that the head is at the top. The upper part of the body includes the mind, the heart. The lower part of the body, the private area, viewed as a seat, so to speak, of taiva, of desire. We have a principle that there has to be a separation when a person prays, bein libo la erva, between the heart and the private area. There has to be a separation, which takes on tremendous depth of meaning. It has to be a separation. It has to be that the top of the body, the head, and the heart, harnessed in a good way, is able to take over and guide the rest of the body, despite its desires. The concept of mahalchim, generally, walking, as opposed to standing in one place, also has great meaning. The pasuk in Navi says, "V'nasati lecha malchim ben ha'omdim ha'ele," I'm going to grant you the ability to walk among those who stand. And as the Nefesh HaChaim explains, the ability to walk is uniquely human as opposed to angels. Angels are static. They stand. They were created. They do not have the entire Yetzer Hara dynamic that the human being does, and therefore they stay where they are. The only way for them to rise is if humanity does mitzvahs that push them higher. But they themselves cannot choose righteousness and therefore gain merit and arise. So the blessing, the statement over here is, I'm going to grant you, the human being, the ability to walk among those who stand, among angels. This also explains the dialogue with Hillel, where the prospective convert came and said, I want to be able to hear Torah on 1 foot, while I'm standing on 1 foot. So we tend to understand that to mean, quick, give me your quickest sound bite. But there's a deeper meaning to what it means to stand on 1 foot. That means I don't want to be a walker. I don't want to walk. I don't want to grow. I don't want to progress. I want to stand where I am. Tell me a part of Torah that will not require me to make a step. You can give it to me where I am. And Hillel gave it to him. He said, from the point of self-centeredness, you can understand what Torah is about. From the point of no growth, self-centeredness, I can explain it to you. Mada'aloch sani, just like you don't want people to violate your will, so you should reciprocate and not violate other people's will. From your self-centeredness, you can achieve the essence of Torah. As Rashi explains, you start off, you're going to be interpersonal relationships, understanding, just like you don't want to be stolen from, so don't steal from someone else. But then it goes even further when you understand that Hashem is also with a relationship with you. And that relationship, just like you don't want people to violate yours, you don't violate his. And the result would be that from your standing on one foot, self-centered position, Hillel is able to explain to you from that nugget, from that starting point, from that spark, if that's your only spark, he can explain to you Torah, which would, of course, result that he get off his one foot and start walking. Again, a human being is meant to be a mahalich. He's meant to be a walker. And the code word for the human being is mahalchei shtayim, that he walks on 2 feet and that his mind is supposed to have that higher calling that controls the rest of the body. Yashar koach. Thank you for joining.